Bowl
Yeah,
game. The
is
best bowl
Garrett
game.
Nussmeier the one then? Is he the one? He
Man,
looked good.
well, his arm talent is, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's up there. Like we talk about Jameis throwing a ball, like you just, he throws the ball and it's like, there's something different about that arm. And to be fair, he has three other 30-yard passes that should have been caught, but the receiver stepped out of bounds. Like his numbers could have even been worse. But like, hey, for having not started a game in 3 years, I think that was pretty incredible what he did and kept it together
390, 390 yards.
and didn't throw any interceptions or anything like that. So,
One pick.
oh, the one
Just
pick,
for
yeah,
half
that is
time.
right. That is
Yeah,
right.
just for half time.
Yeah, 395. You can't be upset about the what he did. And the second half was he was almost perfect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you've got to. You still can bring in people to push him and make a competition, but that's your starter. And I mean, he's had the right attitude. He listen, if that guy would have left after last season, I wouldn't have been mad at him. I'm like, I get it, man. Like we all none of us knew Jaden Daniels was gonna be this. It seemed kind of crappy what they were doing to him.
Yeah.
And I mean, his dad's a professional quarterbacks coach. Like he has to have some good ideas bounced off of him when he's not at the team,
Right.
right? You'd think. I mean, he's an
I'd hope
NFL.
so.
He's like a discount Manning.
It's like he's
Discount Manning.
What's up, Houdat Nation? And welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
Hey, what's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. This is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and on this episode, the Saints continue to find new ways to surprise us. This time, they played a thoroughly complimentary football team or football game on the road to keep the Saints' playoff hopes alive, and with it, creating some mixed emotions throughout the Houdat Nation. Now, whether you want to see the Saints in the playoffs or you want to see Dennis Allen fired, my suspicion is that you're in for twice the disappointment because neither one of those things are going to happen. Even if Dennis Allen does find his first winning season as a head coach, the Saints have yet to show that they can sustain any kind of success. And even if they do next week against Atlanta, it's probably going to be too little, too late.
Too little? You said it was a good size.
The effort, you retard. The effort was too little, too late. But now that you mention it, when a girl says it's a good size, it's a nice way of saying that it's small.
Hey!
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the future. Put your seatbelts on. Keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times. Enjoy the show. On the show, we have Wesley, James, and Jason.
I
Real
think the
quick.
intro pretty much just sums it up. Like that's a hey, good show, guys.
Thanks.
I mean, yeah.
Let's elaborate
to
on
cover
some.
that.
That's it.
That's why we had you on today,
It's
Jeff.
a
It's a good
monologue show.
accurate recap.
So,
Nice speech, Ross.
Ross Jackson.
Yeah, it has one more a one man show.
Okay. It took me a while. All right. So I was moving on to the topic
you
here.
Thought, you're thinking of Friends, like no.
I was.
Oh Rod thought he was going to pull out his Ross Perot impersonation.
No, my eyes are not too far apart.
That's
not
Jerry
really him,
Jones.
But close enough. They're both from Texas.
Yeah.
And they both have the same. It's the same impression.
Yeah, he does the exact same voice. Just says
right.
Different a sentence.
I can't finish. Right. Can't finish.
Right. So my one thing that I might have added to the instant reaction show is that y'all didn't mention is Jamal Williams looked pretty good filling in for Kamara. I thought he had some moments. He had that one good run for sure. And
Best
again,
game of the
kind of, I
year,
think,
though.
adding to
He
Wesley's
definitely
narrative.
celebrated that one run.
All right. We're
My
adding to
God.
Wesley's narrative of the Saints just not recognizing guys and giving the right guys playing time and things like that. It kind of does make you wonder that maybe had they played Jamal Williams more during the season, he might have actually produced more. Sometimes you got to actually be on the field and carry in order to produce. And did they miss playing him? Because you remember Mark Ingram's whole thing was, and Jason, back whenever Damon was on the show, and he used to always say this, where Ingram was the kind of guy who needs 20, 25. Like the kind of, there's certain running backs who have to get all those carries. They get progressively better throughout the game. And the games that Ingram had that many carries, he actually performed really well and he got better and better and then he broke things free. So whereas if it's only like 15, they don't get in a rhythm. They don't start see the things that they're supposed to be seeing and they never really take off. I wonder if Jamal Williams isn't like that, where he's the kind of guy who needs to carry the ball or not. Not that this show needs to be about him, but it just got me thinking that did we underutilize him throughout this year versus what we were saying, I think last week or the week before, that he was a mistake. Like we shouldn't have signed him.
I mean, I guess some of that you can pin to the offensive line. I mean, the Saints really haven't been able to run the ball that well this year. They haven't been able to open a lot of holes. There just hadn't been a ton of consistency. Now, the line hasn't played bad the last couple of weeks. I actually thought they played pretty well yesterday. But overall, they just haven't done – they really haven't helped the run game as much as we were hoping that they would. So I think some of it we'll go to that.
Jeff, I think I'd probably agree if you were talking about if Jamal Williams' line was 19 carries for 88 yards, but he had a 17 yard run that you mentioned, and he still averaged 3.1 yards a carry.
So it wasn't much. What about catching? I'm not looking at the box score.
So, yeah, he did have 4 catches for 13 yards, is perfectly like on pace for what Alvin did last time against the Bucs, the 13 catches for 33 yards.
All right. And
I mean, he did have the one catch for 12 yards, but again, you kind of take out the 17 yard run and the 12 yard catch, and he's got pretty terrible numbers.
Pedestrian numbers.
Two yards a catch and 2 yards a run.
I think that's the reason he's not been playing, is because he hasn't been playing well when he's been given opportunities.
Well, but again, like if maybe, again, maybe he's the kind of guy who needs more than 3 carries a game.
Yeah.
Right. So now the line played better. Was Ramczyk the problem all along?
I mean,
what's up with Ramczyk, by the way?
If any of us would have said that Pete Hurst, McCoy, Ruiz, and Landon Young / Cam Irving was going to be the offensive line, we would have figured we're in a lot of trouble. And instead, it might have been our best offensive line performance of the year. I mean, it's questionable, at least, against a team that actually has a good front seven. Which make it even weirder. Like it's if they'd have done this to, a terrible team, but it's weird that we did it against the Bucs and their most important game of the year. So I don't even know what to think.
What's up with Ramczyk? What do we know?
Degenerative knee issue, right? Isn't that what he's got?
Degenerative knee.
You were trying to do there.
Degeneration X. No.
Oh wow. Well. I
mean, there's.
I got 2 words for you.
There you go.
Retire. I mean, Ramczyk's due $17 million next year, which we're clearly not going to pay. I'm not sure if he's going to retire or if he's going to have to take a massive restructure, or I don't even know what the options are. But Ramczyk's not playing here for $17 million next year. And if we're in a situation where we're forced to restructure a contract like that for a guy that definitely doesn't have long in the league, we're even more screwed than how we are set right now to be screwed.
So we have to what's the options and the outcomes as far as the salary cap impact? What is the way for us to make the most room on the salary cap with regard to him?
Ramczyk retiring, but us not announcing, but him restructuring his deal and then retiring. Malcolm Jenkins helped us out with that. Somebody the year before helped us out with that.
Drew did that.
Yeah, Drew did that. So he would restructure down to the minimum salary. And then all the big stuff would go into bonuses and then he would retire. And so then we'd have 2 or 3 years to pay it.
And so it's to pay the minimum.
No, to pay. We're still going to have to give him the money. We just wouldn't have to give it to him right then and there.
Okay. Great.
He said he's going to try to get some doctor's advice over the offseason to see what, if anything, can be done. Because it sounds like he still wants to play. It's not like he doesn't want to play anymore. Whether his knee allows him, that's the real question.
I guess my follow-up question is, I mean, this isn't a new problem. He's known about it for a year and a half, 2 years. How many specialists has he seen and what kind of new advice he's gonna get? I mean, is he go to Germany and get the Kobe Dirk Nowitzki knee injection thing that's gonna fix it.
At this point, he's got to try everything. Just
right.
I mean, how many are all the doctors he's seen so far Ochsner doctors? If so,
yeah, like what's going on?
And we're fucked. You know? Right. That's how we got here.
Definitely get a second opinion. Definitely. Yeah.
Third, fourth, fifth. Go to Germany. Just
we
go
didn't even
Germany.
His femur's been broken for 2 years. We didn't even realize
yeah,
it.
Huh. Oh my god.
It's just a little loose cartilage, that's all.
I hate when that happens.
Right.
All right. Also, Jeff Duncan posted an article earlier this week or last week about.
I think it was Kamara, today.
I think it was.
Well,
he does his annual.
I think it was Monday morning after the Saints game.
Okay. Well, this isn't going to publish today, so I'm talking about people listening.
85.
Then you need Doc Brown's flux capacitor.
This is what makes time travel possible. I'll show you how it works.
This readout tells you where you're going. This one tells you where you are. This one tells you where you were.
You input your destination time on this keypad.
I've always dreamed of seeing the future, looking beyond my ears, seeing the progress of mankind.
Order Doc Brown's Flux Capacitor today. Just $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
I'm time traveling, folks. Okay, so in his article, he talked about potential that we might trade Kamara. Or is he saying that we should trade Kamara if he were playing GM?
No.
I think this is his prediction of what will happen.
These are it's his annual crystal ball column. Peter Finney used to do this. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, here's my crystal ball for 2024. What's going to happen? I mean, some of it could be serious predictions. Some of it not necessarily so.
How much do you believe that it'll happen? Because if he's saying that we would trade Kamara to the Rams, what do we get for that?
I don't know, a fifth round pick? Why would the Rams want him? They got Kyren Williams. They don't need him.
Well, the two of them paired together would be about the best duo in the league. Kyren Williams has caught the ball some this year, but that's not his specialty. And Alvin's proven that he's not a between the tackles. This would be the whatever success we had with Alvin and Ingram together. This would be better.
I don't foresee the Saints trading away a player who hopes to sell tickets who the fans love. I just don't see it. I don't think this organization operates that way. So I don't think there's
how much money do you save if you trade him on the cap?
I don't know.
At this point, everything's going to have to be a financial decision. It can't be about fans being happy. They're clearly not concerned about the fans.
Well,
being
some of that is a financial decision to get people to want to buy tickets
yeah, I get
go to
you.
The games. The organization is kind of always
thing,
operated
Jason.
In
here's
that
the thing,
sense.
Jason. You're not going to not buy tickets because Alvin Kamara got traded.
I mean, I may not,
you bullshit.
But some other
bullshit.
People might.
I'll bet you $100 steak dinner right now that you renew your season tickets no matter what happens.
I'm not going to make that.
So here we go. He's how we should
to
take
the Rams. And why the Rams? Why not any other team? Because he's used to playing with a running back named Williams?
Yeah, here's how seriously we should take this article, right? Okay, in March, at the NFL League meetings in Orlando, Florida, owner Gail Benson petitions the NFL to change the team's nickname from the Saints to the Lumberjacks.
Shut up.
That's the
it's
other
a,
part.
It's
of
a joke article.
Again,
it's
yeah.
A joke article.
Oh.
Aha.
Oh, what?
Jeff, did you not read the article?
No, I didn't read the article. I'm going off of your research that someone y'all posted. I don't read the articles. I read the headlines. Because 99% of the time when I click through beyond and there's nothing of substance under the headline for anything ever written anywhere anymore.
Okay.
It's all clickbait.
So yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there's a greater chance of Kamara being traded than the name of the team being changed to the Lumberjacks, though. I just want if we're ranking.
Yes. And, definitely.
I just like there's a greater chance of that happening.
Very shut up.
Okay.
I just don't see the Saints organization.
So Jeff Duncan trolled us.
He trolled you.
That's why
some people knew how to knew.
And
how
that's
to
why I don't read his articles. You think I'm going to click through and read something he wrote?
It's not because you're blocked by him.
Uh-uh.
Oh, that's just Jason.
I'm not blocked.
Yeah, it's just me.
Jason's blocked.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised James isn't blocked.
They're friends.
All right. Offensive. The other question is, so what do you think is going to happen to DeMario? He did bring up DeMario Davis that he'd retire. Do you, that feel, feels a little more believable?
I don't see that
retire either. Or
no, don't see it.
Not
nope.
Play here.
He's still playing at a too high a level for him to turn it in now.
Okay.
I thought it was great because we had mentioned on the instant reaction about I said that DeMario, when he picked up that ball, he looked like he turned 25. And then Tyrann Mathieu in interviews after the game also said that DeMario Davis turned into Jerome Bettis whenever he picked up the ball. He did. He like that was as hard as I've ever seen him run, I think.
He wanted to take that all the way.
Certainly.
All right, then. Will Cam retire? No, because he's got too many years on his contract, right?
Should Cam retire?
He should. Will he? Again, it's tough for these professional athletes to admit that they don't have it anymore. After being the best athlete on the field pretty much your whole life.
Cam has brought it up each of the last few years that he's getting down to that, you know, 1 year at a time thing that Drew used to talk about. That so he's no longer committed to, well, I'm going to make it to this many years. He's like, yeah, well, you know, every year we'll kind of redo it. And look.
What about Taysom? Not retire, but how do you keep Taysom on this team next year?
Well, he's under contract.
That's how you keep him.
Probably, yeah, but that's probably the best way to keep him.
You've talked a few times about there's no way that we can field a 53-man roster because we owe too much money to too many players.
Right.
So you have to restructure some deals.
Yeah, but I think with a lot of these deals, you've already restructured them. So when you trade them, the money that you owe them comes due the day you trade them. So we don't have options to trade or cut these players. Because like if you trade or cut them, you owe them all the money that you've already restructured.
Mm-hmm. So you have to
restructure them, but then you're basically committed to keeping them for 2 more years instead of 1 more year each time.
They're just making things worse by doing that.
Right. And that's why the thing we're talking about with Derek Carr, like we're going to restructure him this offseason. And any amount of us getting out of his deal after 2024 becomes null and void. You are now committing also to him to 2025 without taking just a massive bath and cap hell. Hmm. I mean, listen, there's the Bucks this year decided to take it and they took like $84 million in dead cap or whatever. And they're going to be in a really good position moving forward because they decided just to go ahead and completely take the bath on all that. And they're going to be a scary team that they're going to be able to go buy a better quarterback if they want to and do whatever they want, where we're still just going to keep, you know, restructuring old players.
That's the problem, because we need to finally just eat it in the face. Yep. Not pretty. We need to eat
it. We're not doing that now?
No.
No, we're not even doing that yet.
Feels like it.
And to be fair, Taysom's not an old player that needs to retire. I think we just completely utilized Taysom the wrong way. We still don't give him the ball enough today, you know, on the game this week. It was cool in the first quarter that we did that pass to the tight end that made sense. I mean, like where you fake the run and you throw the pass. But then we did the exact same play 2 quarters later and it almost was an interception. Like that's a play that people aren't expecting, but you damn sure don't run it twice in the same game. It made no sense to call that play the second time. It didn't work the second time.
I guess my kid's high school football coach, which it's not always wrong where you keep doing something until they stop you, right? You keep doing it. If it works, keep doing it until they have an answer for it.
And then we've got Taysom catching back shoulder touchdowns as he backs into the goal line. Like, again, things that we haven't done with him. It's the weirdest stuff that in week 17, Juwan Johnson has his career game when we've needed tight end help all year. Taysom makes the best kept touchdown catch of his career in a year that we've needed tight end help the entire year. It's dumb.
It makes me wonder if Juwan Johnson wasn't nursing some kind of injury during the year and he's finally healthy or something, because he looks like a completely different guy than he did even like 3 weeks ago.
Well, I will also give credit to the coaching staff. I can't believe I just said that. But if you look at the last 4 or 5 weeks against Tampa.
Did you get hypnotized like 3 weeks ago? There's this weird Dennis Allen's coming back. I'm going to compliment it's like something happened.
Shit, they've just beaten me down so much. But if you look at the last 4 or 5 weeks of the opponents against Tampa, they've really utilized the tight ends. And that's exactly what the Saints did too. So it's like, shit, they actually looked at a matchup that other teams have been exploiting and actually exploited it themselves. I can't believe they did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I think it's four games in a row where tight ends have had 15 catches or something like that. It was some crazy number that Tampa Bay just doesn't. I mean, it's definitely not our style. But I mean, and Jeff, you brought it up, but there's multiple things this year where it's like we're figuring them out in week 17, and it's just way too damn late. Mm-hmm. I mean, figuring out that Jonathan Abram can still play safety in this league or can play safety in this league and figuring that out in week 17, where we've missed Marcus May for most of the year, is really stupid. Zach Bond figuring out that he actually can get after the quarterback after not even in week 17, after 3 years, is really, really stupid. And, you know, Jimmy Graham being a viable red zone and third down target and not figuring that out for more than halfway through the year is really stupid because he has 12 years of being successful at it.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but it's weird that we are figuring things out with players that have been with us all year.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of figuring things out, it does look like even last week, Derek Carr's throwing better. Like, his passes are a little more accurate. He's making a few better decisions. Still not where we, I think, expected him to be. But it, you know, they did mention in the game Sunday, and something I brought up the week before as well, like, we are going to be stuck with this guy. He is going to be your quarterback.
Yes.
It could be, like, I'm choosing, instead of looking at it, whereas, like, this bullshit we got this year is good, we're in for that again. There might be a glimmer of hope if the reasons for his performance this year are more because, A, it's another year of a new offense, and that's all he's had his entire career. So he would have he'd be in a second year of the same offense.
Nope, we're going to have a new offense next year.
Oh, that's true. Yep. So, nope. All right, then. Sorry. Fuck.
If I think of the only thing...
No, I mean, the only thing
you can do is to bring the shoulder injury.
Right. Well, the shoulder.
But he didn't have the shoulder injury for the first 4 weeks.
No, but two concussions, fractured ribs. Apparently, he had more fractured ribs than Drew Brees ever had in just this season. I mean, if the guy was that banged up, all those injuries piled up, that does explain a lot.
But he sucked the first three and a half weeks too.
But also the first 3.5 weeks of his new offense. So that'll happen again next year. But if he's healthy, we might win 9 games next year. Or we bring Do we bring in a new offensive coach?
We might win 9 games this year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so we could win 10 games.
We play a much harder schedule next year.
Well, yeah. Much harder.
But we would also this is also assuming we fire Pete Carmichael and some other members of the offensive coaching staff. And so who do you bring in?
Anybody
who's
better
the Derek Carr whisperer kind of that you bring in? Like, who can work with him?
I think that we're going to have people that will want this job just because of some of the names that are here. And plus, last year was kind of a weird year because it was so many head coach, offensive coordinator positions available that I understood why we weren't going to go out and get the 11th best person when a lot of those offensive coordinators were getting head coaching jobs. There's going to be less competition this year for the best offensive coordinators. So I think that I think this will be a decent job for somebody. And Gale does have the money to spend on coaching contracts if we choose to.
Do you think they'll be stupid and promote from within?
No.
No.
Okay, because that seems to be her MO.
I think pretty much everybody on the offensive side of the ball is gone.
And that could be a prerequisite of them bringing Allen back, because that's definitely the way it looks, that Allen's for sure coming back. So we're going to be stuck with him for another year, which means we can really tank next year. We can go.
He's in the midst of his most successful season as a head coach. 8 wins. It's the most he's ever had in one season.
Oh my God.
And his defense played lights out.
And last year he had 7, so he's getting better.
Oh, jeez.
4 or 5 years from now, he can have a 12-win season.
I mean...
In the new UFL? Oh, God.
He's... again, if you've got several holes in the boat right now. He is not the largest hole.
He's
plug
a pretty
up.
Big hole.
No, he's not.
Yes,
because
he is.
The defense is in good shape. The defense
but
is
he's
fine.
The head. Okay,
if
but he's more than the coordinator. He's
know,
the head
Jason.
Coach. He's the head honcho.
Everything I know,
falls
but
on
the
his
offense
lap.
Is the bigger problem.
But
if
it's his, it's under
take
him. It's
his defense
fault.
And let. Yeah, but.
It's still his fault. He's the head man.
Yeah, but you are the one who said you can't fire him this year. You put this out in the universe.
I didn't say you.
I'm pretty sure everybody's ready to fire him. And then 3 weeks ago, Jason started, we could bring him back. Now the whole world, now we're actually bringing him back. Jason reported it before Rappaport and Dove Klyman. So
right.
Maybe
And now Jason's against it. It was his idea.
I'm not saying I'm against it. I'm just saying it was
arguing it right now.
It was a theory. It was a way to get us out of the hell that we're in. I was just trying to think of something different because everybody was like, fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him. I get
do
it.
Do you fire Doug Marrone too?
Whole offensive coordinator staff.
Nobody.
Jari Evans. I thought Jari Evans went to Denver.
He's not actually hired as a coach.
He's an intern. Consultant in training camp.
Yeah, he's
did Zach Strief go to Denver? Okay.
Yes.
Zach Strief went to Denver, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we weren't missing much when he left. Except bad radio calls.
I'd be a fan of hiring pretty much anybody involved in upper offensive decisions with the Detroit Lions because they made a killer out of Jamal Williams, who I don't think is good, and Jared Goff, who I've never thought was good. Like, they've made him a serviceable quarterback. And where he's got a few receivers around there, like Amon-Ra St. Brown is his real only receiver. So whatever you've done with Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown, do that with Carr and Olave, and then get Jamal Williams back to being whatever he was 2 years ago, or last year, I mean. So whatever wizard they have there that wants to take credit for that in Detroit, we can hire that guy.
It's going to be interesting because I would think, yeah, let's just bring in – you're going to have to bring in a QB coach from somewhere, but with all the job openings, guys are going to – you know, these new coaches are going to need new offensive coordinators as well, so they're going to be looking at the same thing we are. And if you got a new coach in a new spot, doesn't that seem more enticing than, oh, you got to go coach under Dennis Allen with an aging team that's about to go through cap hell?
I think that in the league, though, he's respected as a good defensive coordinator. So I think they're going to look at it as the head coach is going to run the defense. You're going to be the head coach of the offense. And so that could be a selling point, too. And just to address, I know I've brought up John Gruden a few times this year. I don't see John Gruden actually signing a contract for a coaching job until after his lawsuit is settled. Yeah. And there's multiple levels to that. There's rumors that John Gruden doesn't want to settle his lawsuit. He wants it to go to court so that whoever released the emails has to be uncovered, because then that person's going to prison. And so there's rumors that he's like, I'm not settling for anything. I'm taking this all the way because I want. And then clearly sometime between now and then, the NFL does not want this to go to court. They want this settled, because when it goes to court, whoever released the emails broke the law. And it's going to be a big deal. And they don't want somebody in upper management in the NFL offices to be blamed for this. So who knows? If John Gruden settles his case sometime before March 1st, maybe that's an option. But as an offensive coordinator, he's going to have to probably step in as that and work his way up, though.
Fun times.
Yeah. But the only other thing is, like, any of their really, really good offensive coordinators are either going to be head coaches or stay where they are, right? I mean, so you're going to have to get
you're going to get a quarterback coach or an offensive line coach, something like that. Yeah.
Right. But, right.
And there's no guarantee it'll be better, but I like taking a chance on some young guy that maybe has fresh ideas that grew up playing Madden.
Yep. Right.
You laugh, but
like my McDaniel.
Yeah, hey, that shit, it's an ever evolving league, you know.
Well,
it's gonna work.
You mean the Madden league or the NFL?
Oh, I mean, Madden hasn't evolved. So I don't know.
Yes. you used a good word there, evolving, and our system hasn't evolved for 15 years.
Yeah,
yeah. I think there's gonna be a very different offensive system in here next year. Like, not. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, something similar that we can. I think it's going to be very different.
Yeah. And it should be. It's no longer the same team that Sean Payton was coaching. I mean, personnel wise, even.
I mean, it was all Drew Brees. Like, I'm just starting to get clearly, more and more like.
There's, yeah. There's just his, I wonder who said that a couple of months ago.
Well, I mean, I've been agreeing for years that, like, you can always debate which one of them was it. Was it Payton or was it Brees? And we're going to find out, because Peyton's going to put in his own quarterback and his own offense. We're going to get that decision, or we're going to get an answer to that sometime in the next couple of years.
Yes, yeah, that are. Was crazy that they did what they – like, they fired – I mean, just got rid of – like, what happened?
Which
I really wish I knew what happened in Denver to where – like, to why not just bench him? Like, they didn't they fire him? Like, they just
who?
Or is it they benched
bench
him?
Russell
Wilson. Oh, I thought they cut him.
No, like, he was demoted to second string.
Okay.
Well, in essence, they're going to release him after June 1st.
They're doing it to keep him healthy. If they release him if he was injured and can't pass a physical in March, then they owe him an extra $37 million, $32, $37 million. They want him healthy between now and March so they can cut him for only $85 million.
Either way, there is this giant discourse out there that, oh, he's getting fucked. Like, no, he got paid $140 million to play two seasons in the NFL. He's doing just fine.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, he's doing just fine. Settle down.
That's like saying Derek Carr got fucked. No, the Saints got fucked.
And the national media is finally like, man, Sean Payton's a dick. Oh, y'all didn't know that? Just because y'all didn't pay attention to New Orleans? That's why y'all are now all of a sudden realizing, holy shit, he's a dick.
Isn't that the whole reason Roger Goodell was like on our asses for 10 years?
Right, yeah.
He hated Sean Payton.
There's no way that Sean Payton went to an interview and hid the fact that he's kind of a jerk. I mean, he just acts, no, but he also
probably
has
what they wanted.
He's got an attention to detail, and I think gets good stuff out of his teams.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. I'm not sleeping on Denver.
You can this year because they're
eliminated. Well, I mean, in the long run. So all right. Anything else on the Saints that y'all needed to bring up that you wanted to talk about?
Derek Carr did actually take accountability for a sack yesterday. That was progress. Maybe he's turning
did
over.
Did he listen to our show from Saturday, Wesley?
So,
Yeah,
that was just a little interesting. I haven't seen him do that at all this season. He actually took the blame for something.
Thanks for listening, Derek.
Are you? I know we have a Falcons preview episode, so I don't want to steal that thunder, but. Really, I guess it's more not our game. I'm thinking the Carolina-Tampa game. So let's say the Saints win against Atlanta, which is possible.
That's what I'm pulling for.
That would definitely be the other episode.
Then would the – like I just don't see the cards working. I don't see us getting the breaks.
The other route is way like more Carolina. Likely. Carolina's not beating Tampa. The right. other route is actually you can convince yourself that the other route can happen.
What's the other route?
The Saints first need to beat the Saints need to beat the Falcons. You've got the Cardinals who just beat the Eagles. They need to go beat the Seahawks who just lost to the Steelers. So you're like, okay, I can talk myself
well,
into that.
They're Super Bowl champions, but yeah, okay.
And then the Bears need to beat the Packers. And the Bears are 5-2 in their last 7 games. Their two losses is a 5-point loss to the Lions and a 3-point loss to the Browns. So they've lost to two very good teams. That have won double digits. So you can start talking yourself into that the There's Bears are right now playing
the
better than the Packers.
It's going up.
Based on the way
let's just be real. The Saints are going to lose to the Falcons. Those other things are all going to happen. And the Saints are going to lose to the Falcons.
That's more riding likely. But I am at this point now where, like, if Dennis Allen is coming back and Derek Carr is coming back at the end of the day, now I want to go to the playoffs. Like, I want to win. There's no need to lose anymore.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, it'd be great, but you're weaving.
I want to win. I don't think we're gonna.
Yeah, there's too many scenarios. I mean, and then if you're hosting a game, if the Buccaneers are not losing to the Panthers, but if you're hosting that game, then you're playing a Cowboys or Eagles team that probably the Eagles that are quite struggling.
Well, what if? So I saw, I think Bryce Young got hurt. What if they decide to go with Andy Dalton next week? They could, and Baker could be banged up from that hit.
Kyle Trask versus Andy Dalton.
Then we're fucked, because Andy Dalton, there's one thing Andy Dalton does, is fuck the Saints over.
I don't know. I just, look, anything can happen in the NFC South.
We just beat the Bucks.
I've seen enough this season to know, like, yeah, they probably aren't going to beat Tampa, but I just feel like, who knows? Why the hell not? I mean, they don't sound like they're...
Hey, since they got DJ Chark, they've been playing better.
And even... it'd even be hilarious to claim that last wild card spot, travel to Dallas. That'd be fun.
Well, it was just 4 weeks ago. So it was December 3rd that the Bucks played the Panthers, and the Bucks beat them. It was only 21-18. So it was a close-ish game. But that was... I mean, Bryce Young going 15 of 31. The game will be in Carolina.
Well, their owner pour a drink on the Bucks fans.
My goodness.
What a man, talk about a dick.
See, what happened?
The owner of the Panthers threw a drink on a Jacksonville Jaguars fan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
From the suite.
And that's caught by multiple.
It's against the NFL's code of conduct policy. Like, for
it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
I did a show with Jeff Hartman this morning or Monday morning where we talked about that and like what would be repercussions for it. Like, I mean, I could see as far as him getting suspended from going to games for half a year or a year. I mean, what would be great though? What if they lost the second round pick? They already don't have a first and they get their second taken. I mean, that would, I will say, like in our, the Dome Patrol account posted it on Twitter today, but like, I hope that guy lives forever and never sells the Panthers.
Yeah. So I didn't think it would be so soon that we'd find a Dan Snyder replacement, but here we are.
I mean, but he threw a drink on somebody, even Dan Snyder, and that's stupid. This is, no. I mean, has there been a worse owner since Marge Schott?
I mean, Dan Snyder. I mean, Dan Snyder, with all the other stuff that went on in their organization.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. That's ignorant.
Forcing cheerleaders to go on.
I mean, the Cowboys did that too, so.
That was part of their contract, though, right?
Yes. Hiding money from the rest of the league. Dan Snyder also did that. Kept two sets of books. Yeah.
No. These owners, I'm telling you, that's the thing. If it's up to the owners, he's not going to pay a hefty price because they take care of each other.
Yeah, I think this one might be. I think they might want to all separate themselves from him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they don't make him sell the team. Not over throwing a drink in somebody's face. He's going to have to do far more worse things than that. But
at least Robert Kraft, when he's going to break the rules, he does it in a dark room with the lights off.
And Deshaun Watson. All right. Final thoughts. James, Jason, Wesley, was that the final thoughts?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see.
Kind of feels like it was. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Actually, I have one other thing I did want to bring up. I don't get the hype over Rebel Moon. I'm curious of the people who have watched it, who are listening to this, tweet us, Facebook us, whatever. If you watched it, did you think it was as good as people say it is? Because I'm seeing... We're talking to people who are like, this is what Star Wars should have been. This is an amazing show. I'm an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours into the movie, I guess. And I'm just kind of like, I mean, it's all right.
Well, that's with over six. One. Yeah,
I know.
with over 65,000 votes on IMDb, it's a 5.7, which is not good.
OK.
And the things that I've heard is I've heard it's not good and it's boring. And I've heard that it's real, like none of the story comes together, that it's all like, it seems like different weird scenes that don't have anything to do with each other. And I've also heard that Charlie Hunnam is just a terrible actor. Like apparently
who's that?
The guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. He was in Pacific Rim.
He plays Kai in Rebel Moon.
I don't know who that is.
I mean, I thought he was good.
That's how much I'm like into this movie. I don't even know who
he's good in
name.
Pacific Rim.
Yeah, he was good in Pacific Rim.
Okay. I don't know any characters' names. It's just not grabbing my, like, it's not holding my attention.
Yeah, I think that.
So I think I'm just going to abandon ship.
Yeah, it's 2 hours and 13 minutes. You got another 45 minutes to go. That's, yeah.
Well, if I've watched more than that, because Netflix says I have 20 minutes left.
Oh, thank you.
Which I probably fell asleep. So. Anyway, all right, follow us on social, search for Dome Patrol Podcast, and we have one more week I guess we can do game day chat during the playoffs as well, maybe. If you want to participate in game day chat, send us a DM on socials. We'll get you an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. Don't forget, everybody, subscribe on your podcast app. The Saints are going to end their season next week, more than likely. If they do get in the playoffs, whatever, but don't forget, we do publish episodes throughout the year, so make sure you're subscribed on your podcast app. Give each episode a 5-star rating. Comment, set up auto downloads so you can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast anytime, anywhere. Say bye bye, donkeys.
Hello, 2024 donkeys. Since I
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.